Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning. And man, is there a lot going on. Days like this are what make parts of it are fun. A lot of the stuff is fun. Some of it isn't all that fun, but a lot to talk about today. Crazy, crazy weekend. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. It was a wild, 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 wild weekend.
Busy. Sports.
Busy as hell. It's a busy day today. Considering that the Braves have a doubleheader in about 2 hours, starts in 2 hours, to see if they can continue playing their season.
Just got
to
win one of them.
Like that. Yeah, and then obviously the dramatics over there yesterday as far as Younghoe Koo, the great, unbelievable game down in Tuscaloosa. I mean, just a great, fun weekend, man. And again, it comes back to Monday, doubleheader, your team's all in, and it couldn't be against a better opponent in the New York damn Mets, which is also great. But yeah, I mean, it's just it was crazy, man. It was crazy. I'm just catching up too.
I know.
I mean, it was a whole lot.
Another thing. So obviously, rest in peace to Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah, man, just saw that a second ago.
Dikembe Mutombo has passed away.
Sick.
I didn't either.
Yeah, man.
I didn't either.
But I mean, everybody knows his impact on this city, on Philadelphia, and obviously with his country and you know, bringing basketball there. He's such a great ambassador of the game worldwide, man. So yeah, it was a big loss, man.
And speaking of basketball, we'll talk to Trae Young in about 40 minutes from right now as well. As today is Hawks Media Day, as if there wasn't enough going on, the NBA season is right around the corner. So we'll get there. But before we do, I mean, what, just chronological? Start with what happened most recent. We'll talk about the Falcons game yesterday and the drive that, well, they won. That's four games now where they've had the ball in Kirk Cousins' hands with a chance to win the game.
Yep.
They're 2-2.
Yep.
Now, again, I don't think there's going to be a lot of stories written about that drive, but they did enough. Darnell Mooney drew the pass interference.
Because it was.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was. And if you read Josh Kendall's article, his interview with him after the game, pretty savvy stuff from Darnell to kind of realize the ball was going to be overthrown and bump in and do what he needed to do. They did complete a pass on first down, but then they immediately erased it with a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that yesterday.
Oh, my God.
A lot of penalties.
Dude.
Some of them questionable.
Oh, no. Questionable, I asked.
Yeah.
That was a crap holding
call.
Holding call.
Yeah, Jake Matthews did not.
Whatever.
It's a very bad call.
Yes,
could have been a touchdown.
Yes.
Made our lives a little bit less stressful at the end of that game. But there's no such thing as a non-stressful Falcons
game.
No, there
is
very
not.
Clearly what it's going to be this year. Would have thought maybe with the little green line right there and Younghoe Koo's season or career long being 54, maybe you try to get a little extra yards and help him out.
Yeah,
but instead they just threw three deep balls.
Yeah,
and it was what it was.
And it's like, okay. Because when you're in that situation, you got to judge, you're like, how much time do I have if I want to run the football here?
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you get to where it's third down. Well, okay, you don't get it. And you can't clock it.
And you can't lose yards.
And you can't lose yards. I mean, I thought it was a couple of times where he could have hit Bijan. Bijan had a little swing route. Just dump it there. Let Bijan run for the sideline.
Yeah, might have dumped it a couple times.
I saw that a couple times. Yeah. But, I mean, you know what I mean? I don't apologize for winning. It was a hell of a win by the Falcons. Drummond was there. Still the same problems offensively. Can't possess the ball. They had four first downs this time.
They did. 4 of 11 is not horrible. It's not great.
Not great.
It's better than what they were.
But I thought just overall, you know, getting that spark from Tyler running the football, because that was the biggest issue. And the first, I couldn't run the football. Couldn't get anything going. He comes in, and basically what he was doing was making people make business decisions. He was just running. Yep. We call it no fair dodging. He just running into people. If you had a white jersey on, hell, if you had a red jersey, he was running into you and making ways and you know, and they still haven't got this passing game where it needs to go. But hey, you won the football game, and you still, you know, you got stuff you still got to work on and fix. And then and like Staken was saying, it's a short week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short week, and it's better to go on off a short week with a win than a loss. And you're going against a really, really good Tampa team. A really good Tampa team.
Yes. Tampa seems legit.
Who's playing, whose quarterback is confident as hell.
Yep.
And we talked about, I like Cocky Baker, man.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I like when he got his stuff going. He's a fun player to watch. But they were able to get stops when they needed. And then we talk about complimentary all three phases, where you get a defensive touchdown and for you get a special teams touchdown.
Had two of the phases.
Yeah, two of the phases.
The other phase didn't score a touchdown.
And so.
But they had four field goals.
Yeah, I mean.
They took the points.
That's special teams. They took the points when they
took
needed to take the points. But they didn't do a lot, you know, as far as, again, the cohesion, the rhythm.
Yeah, let's be honest about it. They won the game. That's the most important thing. The offense is not good.
24 minutes of possession again.
This team's offense is not good.
They're not there.
They're not good. They can't sustain drives. They couldn't get the run game going yesterday. Bijan's been fantastic for the most part, but he was 7 for 28. Thank goodness for Tyler Allgeier being a battering ram, because I don't know what else they could have done offensively, because really nothing else was working. Kyle Pitts doesn't have a catch in the game, which is, I don't know. I mean, same story. I don't know what new to say about it. It's crazy that Kyle Pitts is at this point of his career and has games like he had yesterday. Only a couple targets as well. Now, he should have had a catch.
Yeah, he dropped
should've
it.
Should have had a catch.
He got elegant arms.
Yeah, he did. He didn't. Was about to get hit real hard. Yeah. He didn't seem all that interested in it. Yeah. And Kirk Cousins didn't look particularly good either.
No.
There was a lot of throws that were missed.
He missed a lot of throws yesterday.
And
he missed a lot of throws.
Yeah, so you know, obviously, it's more fun to talk about fixing it and what needs to be better in a win and all that stuff. But like, there's four games in now, and this offense looks pretty rough.
Yeah, it does. It looks like they're searching for an identity and what they want to do. And I'm not going to say that I saw a big difference of the two injured offensive linemen, because I didn't really see it.
Biggest difference was Neusel kept getting penalties called on him.
And you're like, that wasn't no damn penalty.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
You just readjusted.
Yeah, he just readjusted.
Although, maybe he did it on purpose because they were about to not take the points.
Right.
And then he was like, oh, false start. We got to take the points. So that was actually sneaky shout out.
But I mean, every time they would get Neusel. a positive play, it was negated by a penalty.
Yep.
It really would. Whether we think it was or it wasn't, it was. And you'll get probably sometime today, Ra get an apology from the league saying, oh, that wasn't a hold or anything, something like that. We had a bad angle. He'll get that sometime today, which sucks, but because it don't really bring that play back. But yet, you still got the win. Young Wei Koo, big time kick. And, you know, it was money. Once he booted it.
They must have known, because his career long was 54.
Right.
That was 58 to win the game. Clearly, they know what his range is. Right?
Koo's a 60 guy.
Yeah, he probably. Yeah, probably 60. Probably 60 stretches it inside and all that stuff. Maybe like a game winner with a little extra adrenaline in there and all that. Now, he's added to that over the last couple of years, because I remember a couple of years ago, he was 50-plus was a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very accurate, but the distance was a problem.
Right.
He's gotten much better as far as the distance goes. Still, he might have tried to help him out a little bit with one of those three plays. Make it 54.
But that's always
make
the thing is running the ball. Running the ball.
I don't mean running.
With no time.
Quick outs.
That's what I'm saying. They were there. Why were they looking to go down the field?
I don't know. I don't know.
And those
very
are
strange play
and
calls.
That's what I'm saying. When you look at the time of possession, I mean, with how much time you have on the clock, and then having no timeouts, you got to get out of bounds, or you got to get it up and go.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't want to waste a down spike and get if you like, I don't know.
Fair
enough. I don't know, but there's so many scenarios to it. But yeah.
Thank God, Young Wei Koo's good.
Because at that point, there's no choice. Send him out there.
All right.
If it was 65, send him out there.
Got to do it.
Yep. You got to send him out there.
Kick it hard.
Yeah. Hey, get all your oomph into it, and we'll live with the consequences.
So not the prettiest football game ever played. Not the most exciting football game ever played until the end, and they won, and that's what matters most. I don't know if it's the most, but it's one of the most exciting football games I ever watched on Saturday night.
Oh, man. Like, what a freaking game.
How do you come away from that game as a Georgia fan? Because there's so many different things and emotions in that game.
Well, you know me. We lost.
Right.
We lost. I'm also proud of the way they fought. No, they put themselves in that situation.
Yes.
And they battle. And when you play these games, your stars have to win the game for you. Your stars and their stars made the plays when they needed to be made. I mean, obviously the Carson Beck thing, he played like crap. And like crap.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought
it was about a 10-minute stretch of good quarterback.
Yes, and then the rest, it was awful.
The other part was really bad.
The rest was awful. They didn't play well around him, I don't think. I keep going back to, well, if Arian makes that catch, I believe this is a different
first drive?
Game. Yes.
Interesting.
I believe this is a different game.
Yeah.
I believe
it was right there for him.
But then they got that damn momentum guy going. I thought Caleb DeBoer and his staff outcoached Kirby and his staff in the first half, and you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You saw guys, I mean, every adjustment, they had adjustment on the fly. And then they had no answer for Milroe. My favorite player on Georgia's team is Malachi Starks. I think, this is just my opinion, I think power for five, he's the best player on Georgia's team. He had the worst game he's ever played.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons for
that. Yes, he played the worst game he's ever played. I've never seen him miss tackles, bad angles. I just never seen him play like that. So, again, stars need to win games like this, and Georgia stars didn't. But I love the game. I love the battle because it was 30-7.
Most teams lose that game by five touchdowns.
Yes.
Most teams lose that. Now, again, I'm not, like you just said, they lost the game. Yeah. So we're not going to sit here and have a parade for not quitting. You're not supposed to quit.
Right.
But most teams wouldn't have had the character or the talent to play their way back into the game. They did. Also, most teams in Alabama's case would have lost that game in the fourth quarter also. Mm-hmm. Like, most teams don't score that touchdown.
And then you look at it.
You get punched in the face like that and give up a 30-point lead, most teams lose that game. So credit to them for being tough.
I love what Caitlin, he said. You know what? Damn this. We're going up top.
Yeah, enough of this taking our foot off the gas.
We're going up top.
Throw it to the superstar and let him make a play.
And first of all, the catch.
Special.
The catch was sick. But then the spin move and the get gone.
See ya.
Dude, that little dude, that young man there. I know Keyshawn, Keyshawn was the last one to be number one. That young boy.
By the way, that's what you're getting, Alabama fans. Like, and that's a good thing, but that's what the games are like.
Yes.
Like, that was five Husky games last year were just like that.
Right.
Great start, great game plan, foot on the gas pedal, blowing them out, foot off the gas pedal. They're sneaking back in. Why do they have the ball with a chance to tie? Why are we losing now?
Yes.
Why do we have to go on a drive to win the game now? That was every Huskies game last year. Similarity, though, is they won them.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy. I don't know how Kalen DeBoer does it, but that's his style. It's a wild style. We'll come back and tell you what's trending. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Tons more to get to after just a crazy weekend. Craziness continues today, too, because the Braves have a doubleheader. Need to win one of them to go to the playoffs. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A 58-yard try to win the game with 7 seconds left. Pinion to hold. McCullough to snap. Snap spot. Kick from Koo is away. And it is good! 58! And the money shot for Younghoe Koo.
Yeah, it sure was.
I love it.
It sure was.
I love it.
A game-winning, game-saving, season-saving? I don't know.
I think it's too early.
I don't know how much you put on it. But, there's a couple plays this year that glad they went the way they went. Younghoe Koo making a 58-yarder.
Right.
Saquon Barkley dropping a pass that he catches 95% of the time.
Yep.
And the Falcons are 2-2, which through four games is fine.
It's
like you could be better than that. Certainly could be worse than that.
Yeah.
They don't have a 2-2 offense right now.
No, they
got about an 0-4 offense right now.
Yeah, it's not clicking. It's not clicking. And I try to, me try to sit back and like, why isn't it? I mean, they do a lot of stuff to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't stay on when they're on schedule. They find a way to get off of schedule.
Penalties.
Yeah, they got to do a little bit more, early on, because 24 minutes of offense. It's not enough. Just not enough in this league to put up the points and get the production from some of the players that you need to get production
from. Another game where they were outplayed just in terms of total plays run by 20.
Yeah.
By 20. It's a trend now.
And that's something you can't do. I thought it was some good play. I love the connection between Drake and Kurt on those rap concepts and just throwing it. He's a bigger body guy. He's draped all over. He just goes up and makes the catch.
Yeah.
But I just think that I'd love, they're able to win games. Like, because if you can win games like this, when you don't have your best on offense, and still get you got contributions from a special team and from your defense, I thought Troy Anderson is the best I've seen him play the Falcon.
It is the best he's played
the Falcon.
It's the best he's played
the Falcon. Yeah. It is. I mean, it's unfortunate. I don't know. I saw him getting off the field, so I don't know what's going to be his status, but I thought it's best he's played.
17 tackles, obviously scores a touchdown. He was flying around.
Yeah, he was. And they still don't have a damn answer for Taysom Hill. Still don't have a damn answer for Taysom Hill.
The only answer for Taysom Hill is the same answer as always. Thank goodness he gets hurt.
No answer for him.
If he would have stayed healthy, I don't know what that second half would have looked like.
Because they can't stop him.
Every time they hand it to him, he scores a touchdown. I'll tell you one thing. Falcons would have got the ball back faster under 2 minutes because Taysom Hill would have scored on the
first
down.
Try.
Yeah, it took the Saints three tries to score without him. He would have scored on the first play. Yeah, and you make that great fourth down stop, get the ball back, and then you're passing the ball on second down. Run the ball.
Make them use a timeout.
Exactly, and that's the thing is people were saying, well, they would have got the ball back with as much. So what? They wouldn't have had any timeouts left.
Yes.
That I understand they would have used the timeouts to stop the clock, but then they wouldn't have been able to stop the clock when they had the ball, when they got the ball back. That's the whole point of doing that. Either you use clock or make them use timeouts or whatever. You're just trying to get to the end of the game because you have the lead. But they scored, and the Falcons got the ball back with about a minute. And thanks to Darnell Mooney's savvy and ability to draw a PI, because nothing else worked on that drive.
No.
They had one little quick hitter, 5 yards on first down, immediately taken back by a penalty. So they was second and 10,
yep.
Almost like it didn't happen. They pick up the PI, 30-yard PI,
mm-hmm.
Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And then three confusing shots down
it
the
just,
field.
It was confusing because it's just like, okay, you're giving them an opportunity to make a play on the
right.
ball.
Right, yeah, there could have been an interception
or
a strip sack or whatever.
It's like, all right, let's figure out how, because we don't have any timeouts, we don't have a lot of time left. Let's figure out how we can't lose yardage, all right? Let's not lose yardage. Right now we're at 58. We know who can hit this from here. All right, we know he can hit it from here. We can't run the ball because we don't have enough time.
Right, you can't run the ball, no timeouts, not enough time.
And so that's when you're like, okay, well, is that why you were taking the shots that you were taking? Because the one thing about it is you got to take shots towards the sideline.
Sure.
You know, you can't stay, get tackled in bounds and everything.
And obviously incomplete passes stop the clock, so that's fine.
And so, I mean, I'm concerned to go with that's where they're viewing. We'll talk to Heem.
We'll talk to him on Wednesday.
We'll talk to Heem on Wednesday.
We'll just say, hey, you guys were just comfortable with 58.
And we'll just ask him. Yeah. Because that's what I'm saying. If you had to be comfortable with 58.
They ran that three-play, not drive, but that three-play series like it was a 35-yard field goal.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we can do whatever
but
we want.
That's what I'm saying. That's the confidence they have in Cooley. That's what I said.
That's nice to have a guy like that.
You said you were talking earlier in the show about that green line. They won the show on TV where that's where
his career long
right there. They looked at it as, okay, this guy can make it from 60.
Yeah,
all right?
And he made a 53-yarder earlier in the game, and it hit the back of the net. So it was like, all right, so he's got the extra leg in there. They knew it. He made it.
Yep.
They win.
Yep.
There you have it.
There it is, baby. 2-2.
2-2.
With the opportunity to go first in the division with a win on Thursday. You know, and so – I mean, because they're on a short week, too, the team that's coming in here. I thought just defensively, like, the Saints played on the other side of the line so much throughout that game. Mm-hmm. Andy. You saw white shirts across the line of scrimmage too many times yesterday.
Anytime Bijan got handed the ball, he had to try to make a guy on miss both, in the back.
I'm talking about offense and defense.
Oh, yeah, both sides.
Andy. The white shirts were on the other side too much yesterday.
Yeah, to lose the time of possession like that and lose the line of scrimmage decidedly and still win the game.
Yes.
You're happy. Right?
Yes.
Because that very easily, you know, Saints do a couple different things. That very easily ends up as a loss and you're 1-3. But it didn't. You won. I'm sure Georgia would be happily saying, well, I wish we could have done this or that, but we got the win. Unfortunately, they didn't. Here's Kirby Smart talking about the tackling on that final Bama touchdown.
But the play he made was actually in press coverage there late. And, you know, that's okay to give that up. That's hard. But we caught that ball on them. But you got to tackle them. You got to get them on the ground, make them snap it again. And we had momentum, make them drive it through.
Yep.
But we didn't get him on the ground. And that's the biggest fatal flaw of that play.
Yeah, because KJ's coming.
Right.
KJ Humphreys, I mean, it was a hell of a play. It was a hell of a play, man. And I used to get on Humphreys a lot last year. He's been a lot better this year. It was just a hell of a play by him. But KJ got to get him down. You got to get them on the ground in that play, and they just couldn't do it. And then Georgia, we were able to get the ball back, make some plays, get back down there. Carson can't throw the pick.
Yeah.
Just can't. You got let them stop you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let them stop you. Don't give it to them. You got to give yourself a chance. He played like ass. He was shook, Andy. And I'm talking about not just him, everybody. Because the damn defense gave up 30 damn points in the first half. Now, the offense kept putting him in bad spots, but the defense did give up 30 damn points in the first half.
And the tackling on that last play for sure is
the tackling
bad.
The whole day was bad.
They didn't tackle anybody all day.
How many,
like, I've never seen a Georgia defense in the Kirby Smart era tackle like that.
Ever. How many times was a free guy there, and he just like,
whoop, whoop, see ya.
What'd you? What,
yeah.
Well, I.
But, now, I understand Milroe's probably pretty hard to tackle, but it was everybody.
It was everybody.
It was everybody.
The tackling stunk, and it was, like I said earlier, I thought Malachi Stark played, he's my favorite dog. I thought he played his worst game as a dog.
Mm-hmm.
He just was out of position, missing tackles, had Jalen a couple times, and just took the wrong angle. Yep. Now, Jalen, he makes you do it, and if that boy ain't in New York City after that performance,
he will be.
Because he was freaking outstanding. Standing.
That was
from the get-go. This dude was on a freaking mission.
Quintessential Heisman performance.
He was on a freaking mission.
We talked about it last week about him growing into this different type of offense. There was so many throws that he made in that game that maybe he could have made last year. He wasn't really asked to, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he's developed into he was throwing guys open in a way that you had never seen him do before. You know he's got the deep ball, the arm strength. You know he's a phenomenal athlete, and he can make you miss. And had 117 yards rushing and two touchdowns on the ground.
Yeah, man.
Those intermediate throws were so accurate, man. He was 27 to 33.
He was good.
It was incredible.
He was sweet. He was spinning that thing, Andy, and it goes back to something I keep saying. It's like, this is the Alabama's still a standard.
Yep.
It is what it is. Yep. I know we're good. We're good. We're one of the best programs in America, but they're the standard because we can't beat them. Now, we beat them the one time we have beaten them on the Kirby was the biggest win of my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, it was because it was for a national championship. Yep. But, you can't beat this team. Nick got beat by teams. Don't get me wrong. But he never had a problem like Kirby has a problem with Alabama.
Kirby has an Alabama problem.
He has an Alabama problem because they knew everything that Georgia was doing. And it wasn't even, you're just sitting there damn, they know are they tapped into the headphones?
Yeah, do they?
Yeah, but I think, you were talking about
they steal their signs? What's happening?
You were talking off the air. We didn't run the football.
Nope.
And Bobo
there was runs to be had in the first half.
And Bobo took too much damn time to realize we can throw the ball down the field.
Yeah.
Aaron got to catch the ball, though, man.
That's true. It was a great play. It was the second play of the game.
It was there. It was there.
And he was the guy. We talked about all that. Smith hits a big play in big games. And when it went through his hands, it's like, ooh, that's
gone.
That's a big miss. And then you blink, and it was 28-0.
You're like, what? And that's why I was sitting at home like, well, damn.
I know. We had a bunch of stuff going on over the weekend with my wife being from the Asheville area and not being able to get in touch with her family. And hey, thanks to everybody, by the way, not random. None of you are random, but people that I've never met that hit me up on Twitter, DMs and all that stuff, just asking about them. That's really, really cool. It's really cool that you thought to ask. As the week goes on, we're going to try to put together something fundraiser-wise to try to help out the folks in Haywood County and Western North Carolina. But we're dealing with that. We can't get a hold of her.
Right.
So I was inside trying to help her with the kids, and I come back outside, and I was like, what happened?
Yes.
Because I walked away, it was 7-0, and I saw Arian drop the ball, and then I came back, it's 21.
Yeah, the world? They blitzed.
I was like,
Georgia.
All right, we got to rewind here. I got to see what happened.
They put foots all the way up to the knees up in us.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? There's no more to say, man. I mean, but.
But Georgia took the punch.
Georgia took it. I mean, they got their ass knocked down, standing 8-count, four times.
And then they had the lead in the fourth quarter, which I would have never believed that in a million years. When midway through the second quarter, I was like, most teams would have lost that game by 40 points.
Yes.
And it is what it is. You got blitzed, whatever. They were better than us that day. It is, but not them. And I think that speaks to a lot of different things, talent for sure. But it also speaks to just that locker room, just to not give up and get back in the locker room down 30-7. I kept saying it again. I didn't think it was what happened was going to happen, but I kept saying there's a lot of time left.
Yes.
As talented as Georgia is, there's a lot of time left on the clock.
And that's the rub. Cause I was there talking to 11-year-old boy. He was an That's probably why I don't get mad anymore about my team's not performing or whatever. Because I got an 11-year-old boy. And you talking about fired up. He was fired up, man. He was hot Saturday night. And I just kept laughing at him. And so me laughing at him being so mad, it made the game fine. But I kept saying, dog, the game's not over, man.
It's a lot of games.
It's a lot of game. And they just kept chipping and kept punching and kept punching. And I kept saying to and I said at the end of the game, we're going to see this team again. We're going to see them again.
It's funny because midway through the third quarter, I'm sitting there with my mom watching the game on the porch, and I was like, Georgia and Bama might play again. I don't know that I need to see that.
Right.
And then midway through the fourth quarter, I was like, sign me up for that. I would love to see these two teams play again.
We're going to see them. But now you got to go back. You got to lick your wounds, and you got to earn the right to play them again.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
That's
there's a lot of football left, but you're not where you need to be to have the opportunity to play them again.
Yeah.
Now, you will be an opportunity because you got other games against other teams in SEC. But, Alabama, to me, they're still the standard.
Those are two of the four best teams in the country, and they played an absolute classic on Saturday night. Now, I don't know when they go to Texas. That's going to be a hell of a game, too. I know, obviously, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky, but you still got to go down there and play those guys. Tennessee is going to be tough. What a season it's going to be. If anything like that on Saturday night, it's going to be a lot of, not just Samson, it's going to be a lot of Georgia fans going through it this fall.
Through it, dog.
Hey, it's Hawks Media Day as well. With everything going on, I know the Braves have a doubleheader today to try to get into the playoffs. We'll talk about everything else that happened in the NFL on Sunday, college football Saturday. Trey Young's going to join us next. We're going to talk to the Hawks star guard Trae Young after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. We'll go back-to-back NFL no huddles as we do on Monday at noon and 12:20, recapping everything that happened on a busy Sunday in the National Football League, including what the Falcons were able to do at home yesterday. Last-second victory over the New Orleans Saints, 26-24. You love it. You get to 2-2. The college football Saturday was wild as well, so we'll spend more time on that. Certainly what happened with Georgia and Alabama, but some other wild games across the world of college football.
The wildest one was Friday night in that Miami game.
Oh, good. Glad you were going to talk about that one, not the other one.
What the hell happened? The referees, I was like, was it a catch? Yeah. We had went out to dinner, me and Donna, and so we were sitting at the bar watching it. And I was like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
They called that a touchdown.
I was the only one in America not watching it in real time.
Right.
Because I was on the other channel watching the debacle. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you overturn it.
I don't know how you overturn it either.
I don't know how you overturn it. If you called it a touchdown in real time, I don't know what you saw on camera to make you – I don't think he caught it.
No, I don't.
I don't personally think he caught it. But I don't know how you call it a touchdown, and then it was the it was like the fail Mary, but in reverse.
Yeah,
right?
Man. It was crazy, though.
That was an awesome game, though.
Yeah, it was.
What a fun football game.
Play by Cam Ward, double shovel to the tight end. Yeah, it was a hell of a game. Gene Tech, that quarterback, he showed up.
Yeah, because we had talked about it, I think, on Friday. Maybe it was on the air. Maybe it was off. I don't know. But it was all the hype about him coming into the season. We hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Well, he showed up on Friday night.
Sure did.
That was a hell of a battle. By the way, speaking of guys that are going to be in New York for the Heisman ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
Cam Ward's going to be there, too.
Yeah.
Going to be there, too. All right. So with all that going on, it's also Atlanta Hawks Media Day. The NBA season is right around the corner. Huge trade over the weekend as well in the Eastern Conference. But joining us right now to get ready for Hawks season live from Media Day is Hawks point guard Trae Young. Trae, how are you?
What up, Trae?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Outstanding.
Good, man. Haven't had the chance to catch up in quite a while. A lot has happened since the last time we talked. Certainly a big offseason. How do you feel like, just with everything that's changed over the last couple of years, obviously you've been here through all of it, how do you feel like the culture of this team has shifted?
I think we'll see. I think we'll see during the season. But from the offseason workouts, I mean, they've been great, to be honest with you. They've just been just great vibes, just great energy. Obviously, we got a lot of young guys, but we got to make sure some vets too, some new vets with some good energy, and it's just been great. But all that's going to turn out. We're gonna see how it all translates during the season.
Trae, how do you view yourself? Because you just said young guys and vets. Because you're still a young player, but yet you've been in the league as long. How do you view yourself as far as the structure, as far as veteran and young guys?
I see myself as both.
Okay.
I see myself as a vet, but I'm still a young player in this league that still has a long ways to go. But I mean, yeah, I've played a lot of games and seen a lot and been through a lot, so I obviously have a lot of experience too. So I'm not a fresh rookie or anything like that, or somebody new. So, but yeah, no. So I know I can give a lot of these young guys some tips and things like that on how to be ready each and every night.
One of the young guys being the number one pick, Zachary Risacher, I saw you guys, you've been imparting wisdom, including college football, which is great. Was that the first game he's ever been to?
Yeah, that was his first college football game, football game he's ever been to, yeah.
What did he think?
He thought he should stay with basketball.
Really,
stick with basketball. So that was a good thing. So I'm happy I was able to take him to one.
How has it been doing? I know today's first day of your training camp and everything like that, but I'm sure you guys have had some runs and everything. How has it been with that as far as y'all trying to get some chemistry on the court, just actually just going out there and playing ball?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been really good. We've definitely been into some runs and been in different situations already. We've been working out these last few weeks here, and yeah, so it's been good. I mean, for me, I want him to not feel the pressure of a normal number one pick when they come in with all the expectations that a number one pick has, and they don't necessarily perform to their standards, and I just want him to not feel that pressure. So I want him to come in, feel relaxed, and just be himself, because he has a lot of talent, a lot of skill. But he's going to be 19 throughout the whole year. So that's a young player. But he has a lot of skill that we can bring it out of him too.
Well, most number one picks don't get drafted onto a team that has a guy like you, That's just the reality of it. Most number one picks get drafted by teams that don't have franchise players, and that's why they had the pick that they had. One thing we know about you and about players like you is in the offseason, it's always an attempt to add something. Maybe I needed to do this. Maybe I needed to improve upon that. What were some of the things that you were looking to add to the repertoire this offseason?
For me, it's just for me, as I get older, I just want to continue to make sure my body is straight, continue to make sure my body is durable. So, yeah, I'm still young, but I've played a lot of games. So I know what a long season can do to you, and I know how to make sure your body is in the right shape, stamina going into the season. So for me, it's more about those things. It's hard for me to go add some more new moves or certain things like that. So for me, it's about fine-tuning what I'm already good at and making sure that continues to get better, and then making sure my body is continuing to be durable enough to play through a full season, because I pride myself on playing and not watching. So it hurt watching a lot of games last year.
Sure.
So that's more what I was focused on.
You got another teammate. I know obviously the first overall pick is a big deal, but you got another running mate in the backcourt, Dyson Daniels. We don't know a lot about him. We got to see a lot of him in the Olympics and watch how he was playing for his home country. What have you, cause obviously you played against him before, but what have you learned so far about being on the same team with him now?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think he's going to bring a lot to our team. I mean, I know he is. For me, it's just about how can I help him, show his offensive skills and make it easy for him offensively. Because defensively, it's not going to be a problem. He's going to fit in and stand out every game and every possession that he's on the court. It's about the other side that a lot of people have questions on, and that's where I'm here to help him and make it easier for him. Because he can play, he can score, he can make open shots, he can get out in transition and run, and he'll dunk on you too. But you just got to have a PG who can get them the ball and get them in the right positions on offense and make it easier for him. So that's where I can come in and help him. And I feel like he's going to have a great, great year. And a lot of people are going to, think he's having a breakout year and all these things. It's really just him giving a certain opportunity in a different place, and I'm looking forward to seeing him flourish.
Hawks guard Trae Young joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy live from Hawks Media Day as the NBA schedule or NBA season's right around the corner. Believe it or not,
with
a million things going on, NBA is right around the corner. Another guy we saw take a jump over the last couple of years, certainly last year, dealt with a little bit of injuries, but Jalen Johnson shows flashes of really excellent basketball. What do you expect from him this year? As I don't know if I'm going too far saying he's kind of the number two, but what do you expect from him this year?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just expect him to show just more improvement. I don't even necessarily know what year you can say it is for him, because he came in and was injured and didn't get to play very much and all these things. For me, it's more about year two, it feels like. So for me, just wanting to see him just be out there on the court more. I pray he's healthy throughout the whole season, because anytime he's out there on the court, he just makes us better. And anytime he's not, that's a big void and a big hole that we're missing. So we need him out on the court for us this year, because he's going to obviously like you said, I mean, whatever number 2, 3, 4 he is for us, he's a big piece for us. So we need him. We need him there. And that's all I'm counting on.
Trae, we appreciate it, man.
It, brother. Stay safe. Stay healthy, brother.
All right, y'all. I'll see y'all.
Trae Young there, live from Hawks Media Day. Again, it is Hawks Media Day today. You know why it's Media Day? Because the NBA season is right around the corner.
Yes.
Which is crazy to say. Like, it feels like it just ended, and obviously we're in the midst of football. And the Braves have a doubleheader today.
I saw a hockey preseason game. I was like, damn.
Hockey and basketball.
It's back again?
Yeah, I know. It's not even cold yet.
Yeah, man.
A lot of talk about getting guys the ball. A lot of talk about guys making guys better and sort of being – we know Trey's great at that.
Yes.
But I didn't mention scoring very much, which is fine, but I don't know if that's a peek into his mentality or just the questions we asked, but talking about getting these guys the ball and try to feature them and facilitate and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that he wants to do, because Trae knows that he can score.
Yeah.
You know, but I think when you look at, you know, the guys around him, they got to come along too. And you're the guy who has the ball. You're more than anybody, you know, you're the ultimate decision maker of where the ball goes and all those things. The biggest thing with Trae and his teammates is the trust and They got to make the shots, though. Mm-hmm. And I think because he's going to give these guys opportunities to get open looks, how he breaks down the defense mm-hmm. and everything, and how great of a passer that he is. They just got to make the shots.
Yeah. I mean, they pretty clearly retooled it in a different way.
Right.
Right? Like, they went in, and I don't know, when they traded for DeJounte, we were excited about it. I thought it was going to be awesome.
Yep.
I thought that would be a good duo. It didn't work out. They went a different direction of, okay, Trey's the head of the snake. We need to get some shooters that can play defense around him mm-hmm. and see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him right off the bat, like, how has it changed? He said, we'll see. We don't know. We haven't seen it yet, which is true. Looking forward to seeing it. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to look a little bit different with the guys that are out there, and hopefully an emphasis on defense, because there hasn't been much of that the last couple of years. Big trade in the Eastern Conference over the weekend
as
well.
Dog.
We kind of thought Karl Anthony Towns was going to get traded after the season ended last year just because of, you know, various reasons. But kind of late. Like, I would have thought it would have happened way longer ago.
Like, it happened the day before their media day, too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was surprised by it. It seemed like it was something that's been working on for a while. I did a little bit read up on it yesterday. And, you know, Zach Randall. I mean, I wouldn't want to call him Zach damn Randolph.
Julius Randle. He's left-handed and plays like him.
Julius Randle. Yeah, I guess they didn't want to do an extension with him, so he wanted out.
Yeah.
I saw that the Hawks made some calls about him and inquired about seeing if you can get him down here in Atlanta. But I think Cat can play. It's just –
there's no doubt that he can play.
It's just
– Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't.
Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You know exactly what it is.
Yeah, but I like the trade. I like the trade both sides.
I like the trade for the Timberwolves. Yeah. They don't have Cat on their team anymore.
I mean, you got a bona fide tough dude.
Yeah, you got an actual tough guy.
You got
to play with
guy.
All your other tough guys.
Yeah,
and you got the guy who's not tough off your team.
Yeah,
like I would never criticize Karl Anthony Towns' basketball ability.
Yeah.
He's an incredible basketball player. But like, you know, he makes that he makes that Prince sound.
Yeah. When he's rebounding,
when he rebounds,
when he tips into himself,
he makes the Prince sound a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Timberwolves will be fine. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Look at some of the other games from yesterday. Some pretty great performances from some young quarterbacks. I will obviously talk about what the Falcons were able to do against the Saints as well. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.